Okay, ask Catherine. Thank you again for all the great links, many, many great links. We had many people send us first a couple weeks ago. The former CEO of Microsoft has put together a website called USA Facts, and we've posted it several times. I've been playing with it. I truly recommend that you take a look at it. And now we have a new website from Treasury trying to do the same thing. How about that? Zero Hedge wrote up a neat little article about it, which I posted on the website as well, so you can read that. So now we have the former CEO of Microsoft, and his is called USA Facts. And then we have one from the US Treasury. We've played around with one from the US Treasury. You don't get very much. It's still clearly very early in a beta test, but I intend to do everything I can to encourage both of them. I think this is where we have to go. So the more we all get to doing this, it's a journey. So I'm glad they started, and clearly there's lots of room for improvement, but I commend them on doing at least starting. This is what we need. Okay, hi Catherine. I'm a county treasurer and I recently joined Solari. Do you have a software available called Community Wizard that can detect fraud in a CAFR report? Thank you for your mission and work. Community w Wizard doesn't exist anymore. It existed in 1996 and 97. It was essentially stolen by the Department of Justice. It took me 6 years to get it out from the Department of Justice or from under court control. When I finally got it out, some of the most important pieces were missing. I tried to take what was left and donate it to a series of places in the hope that they would use it to seed an effort. I also tried to seed a couple of open source efforts. Anyway, at this point, what's left is totally legacy software. It's not even worth trying to do. It's with Wikipedia software and other kinds of software, it's much easier to do things. And now with these various efforts, I think we're headed in the right direction. So Community Wizard doesn't exist. It didn't identify fraud in a CAFR report. What it did do is by mapping out the money geographically and comparing it to housing data and different data on government foreclosures, it started to identify patterns that would indicate possible fraud. And it's interesting, for any municipal officer, if anybody wants me to brief them on some ideas of what you might be able to do, with the tools that are available, or if you want to build your own, I'm happy to do it. So I've asked customer service to give me your contact information. Okay, next question. I called Heritage about their having let Jim DeMint go after having heard your discussion with Greg Hunter. The membership rep claimed that it was Jim and his staff, less accelerated pace, that caused Heritage to seek new leadership. I didn't have the basic counter, knowing that Congress is slow and the Senate is the slower of the two houses. I'm still not comfortable that there isn't something here. I have more trust in you as an individual than I do most any institution. Have you articulated the reason for your perspective somewhere that I have yet to find? Okay, so I'm basing this on reading several articles about what happened at Heritage and then looking at the timing of it, relating to what was happening in at both at Fox and in the independent media. If you look at the timing, and the way it was done, after the success that Heritage had had at sort of influencing and working with the administration, my guess is that this is part of an effort to pull the rug out from under Trump, and the foundation somehow wanted to distance itself from the administration or put more space between it. But this is entirely intuition. But my intuition is that there is that the foundation didn't want to expend significant political capital being associated with the Trump administration, and the question is why. So it's disappointing because to me, that's what a foundation like Heritage is supposed to do, is to do a lot of the thinking and then help help a new administration programmatically. So I, for one, you know, and again, I have to tell you, I'm not close to Heritage, so I don't know. But my guess is I find the timing to be mighty, mighty suspicious. And if you look at how it was done, just doesn't make sense. You know, the foundation, the Heritage Foundation, in my experience, always existed to serve the administration. And the closer it got, and the more it was able to get its programs adopted by an administration, the more successful it was considered to be. Just like Bill O'Reilly had the number one show on cable news. So, you know, Jim DeMint was able to position Heritage to really be in the thick of things with the Trump administration. So it seems to me you have people who have been completely successful at what they were supposed to do, and suddenly they're getting fired. How could that be? So to me, I think the story doesn't make sense. But if you do some searches on the internet, I think you'll find some pretty good coverage of it. Good morning, Catherine. I attended your wonderful luncheon in Pasadena. Awesome. You mentioned ideas for any subjects to be covered by Salieri. Here we go. In your latest quarterly wrap-up with Dr. Farrell, you mentioned Dr. Farrell agreed that this feels like a spiritual battle. I agree there's more happening than meets the eye, a whole lot more. During your lunch, I was a bit overwhelmed by people's catastrophic thinking, words and phrases that indicate to me people's fears and their collective consciousness of doom and despair. When we as spiritual beings forget who we really are, we tend to get wrapped up in this 3D experience and think this is all this there is, when in fact this is just an experience. And then you go through lots of different examples. I could go on and on. Anyway, so the suggestion is, can you do more Salieri reports that help people understand this? We've done several. So we did The Power of It. We did Spiritual Warfare with Franklin Sanders and John Rappaport. We've had Bill Tiller on to talk about the power of intention, Lynn McTaggart to talk about the field. So there's quite a lot there in this vein, but I will try and think of what else we could do. I would love to get McTaggart back to do another one on the field. Dear Catherine, since it's normally not we the people who are ordering new legislation drafted, it seems to me that the purpose of legislation, generally speaking, is oftentimes to take even more from the people for the benefit of both the powerful elite and the special interest groups. What is your opinion on this? It depends, but often yes. Certainly the more laws and more regulations, the worse the general population is, but it isn't always that way. So, but I would say the more laws and regulations you create, the worse things will be. Catherine, I very much enjoyed meeting you in the event Sunday at the Rose Bowl. Incredible article. UN is testing digital money using iris scan. Wow. Yep, that's up on the website. Check it out. Hello, Catherine. Thanks so much for your enjoyable and informative lunch get-together in Pasadena. The Salieri family is very wonderful and smart. It was great to finally meet you. They go on. The Saker highly recommended you interview Gilad, I'm going to mispronounce this, Adsmon, and then goes on to suggest how I line them up. So I will look more into that. Thank you. I'm a new subscriber and I've been listening to your weekly interviews. They are very informative and super interesting. I just heard the one on Bitcoin, though it is not that high on my list of important topics. I was anxious to get further insight on it. I've heard several other interviews and commentaries on Bitcoins, and the same questions always occur to me that I never heard addressed. As far as I know, the way to purchase Bitcoins is to buy them with dollars here in the U.S. I'd like to know who my dollars go to and what do they do with them. Depends on who you buy them from. It's just like if you go to the store and buy groceries with dollars, who knows where they go. But you certainly, if you're working with an exchange, you can certainly ask them. Why would a seller of Bitcoin, someone who must believe that Bitcoin will be more valuable than dollars, want to sell the more valuable thing for something that they believe claim is being devalued and will one day very possibly be worth nothing or next to nothing. In other words, why would someone exchange Bitcoin for dollars if they believe dollars are a fiat currency that would ultimately be worthless? They do it because they want to do something that requires dollars. So if I want to buy something that's traded in dollars and not traded in Bitcoins, I would proceed. One of the sources of Bitcoins for sale is the miners earn Bitcoins to mine, but then they need to sell some of the Bitcoins to pay their expenses. But also you see speculators who have made money and are taking some profits, or you see people who want to move out of Bitcoin into another cryptocurrency, and they may go back and forth to dollars to do it, or not. It depends. There are many reasons why people need cash to live. But by and large, they're converting it because they need dollars to do something that they can't use Bitcoin to purchase. I hope my question is clear. I'd love to hear your response. I'd also like to know what you think of Jim Willey at Golden Jackass. I haven't been reading Jim's work for quite a while. When I was sort of in cahoots with him and reading his stuff, he always disagreed with me because he always thought the financial system was going to implode, and I didn't think it was going to implode. I thought it was going to slow burn. Now, of course, at the end of last year, I said, all bets are off. Anything could happen. But for a long time, we were in an ongoing disagreement because he was so sure that things were going to implode. Anyway, one of the things I really like about Jim is he appreciates the danger of how inhuman what's going on is. And I think he's great about that. And of course, it makes him he's very angry about it, which of course is, if you hate what's going on, it can sometimes feel good. You continue. He has a lot of similar viewpoints as he has mentioned you in a positive way. He rarely mentions anyone in a positive way. Well, that's nice to know. He's a bit out there like Alex Jones, but says a lot of things that really make sense and are backed up by several other experts, e.g. Rob Kirby. Thank you so much for what you do at present. You're at the top of my list of people I pay close attention to. Thank you. Hello, just hoping Catherine might be able to ask Rod his take on Canadian real estate. I'm in my early 30s and live in an area that a purchase can be made with rent, creating a positive cash flow. I know you can't pronounce financial advice, just looking for an overall opinion on the nationwide market. Thanks for all you do, Mike. We're clearly having central bank policies bubble real estate all across the most parts of the developed world. I think we're going to continue to get currency debasement. And the question, of course, is when do you buy? Because when you get this kind of bubble, it can pop and then come back. But I think the long-term trend is inflation and currency debasement. But then the other question is, how do you buy right in your particular market? And you're right, the Canadian real estate market is... those prices just keep flying. Catherine, you and your group do a great service and give us valuable insights on what is going on. Your comparison with the state of our so-called government and the metaphor describing the actors is very much appreciated. Using the comparison, the Titanic disaster with our current economic and political situation is most apropos. A few similarities come to mind. And then the author continues to describe one of the theories of what really happened in the sinking of the Titanic, that it was not the Titanic, but the Olympic. And I just did a book review of the book that has the foreword from Edward Griffith on that exact subject. So interestingly enough, if you do a search for book reviews, it was just in the last couple of weeks, so you'll pull it up. It may even be on the homepage. If Donald Trump is in office to sink the ship rather than to turn it, our original position is lost. Instead of continuing to work at turning the ship, we need to be finding the lifeboats and helping others of like mind find them also, and I know that Solaria is working toward that end. This involves more than economic strategy. The popsicle index comes closer to measuring this, but even that falls short. People need to pay attention to their political status and be ready to stand together when the corporation comes around with their microchips. Time is short. The iceberg lies dead ahead. I agree completely. You know, man the lifeboats. What can I say? I agree completely. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for your continuing and wonderful work. Recently, we have heard that mandatory adult vaccines are to be in place by 2020, which is the same year that the 5G rollout is to be done. Do you think it's a coincidence that these two agendas line up, or is there something larger unfolding? I believe there's no coincidence whatsoever. I think they're connected, and there are aspects of what the leadership wants to do to convert to tight central control. You continue, we are not wanting to be worried about these kind of things, but these two are unsettling and set to be in place in only 2.5 years from now. Thank you again. Yes, so I think it's, I think those are both related to tight central control, and the combination is, along with some of the other technology that's happening, is very dangerous. So anything we can do to educate and resist or avoid is to be done. I keep getting questions on gold money, so I just want to affirm again that Franklin Sanders and I withdrew our recommendation of gold money in 2015 when it changed ownership, and you can find our discussion of that back in the one of the precious metals market reports during 2015.